Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I like them ones.
WrestleMania Peter!
Mark, is there a wrestling database for names that you can search to find out whether there's any wrestlers called what you want to be?
Yes, there is. Ooh. The surprisingly German website, Cage Match. Is the greatest wrestling database that the world has ever seen. Mm. It's an astonishing collection of every wrestler, every name, every match, and you can sort of search it. So it's really good when you sort of like type in, you go, has Marty Jannetty ever fought The Undertaker? And you can go to Undertaker's page, you can write Jannetty, and it will tell you if they've ever been in the ring together.
Whoa, this is huge. The most popular active wrestlers.
It's brilliant.
Because you've got Okada.
Okada.
Hiroshi Tanahashi. There's a lot of Japanese names in here.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Jericho's up there as well.
The good guys. There's also a very good user sort of rating where people will go, I give this guy 8 out of 10. And so you get an impression of who is the best in the world and who is not.
Right, okay.
And there's some people with very low ratings that you'd be sort of surprised by. Oh, funny. Likes. Yeah.
I am now announcing my new wrestler, Bluetooth.
Bluetooth?
Because he's not in the database.
Good.
There's not a promotion called Bluetooth. There's not a title, tag team, stable.
God, that Bluetooth. Is such a 2009 Bluetooth wrestling. Yes. The Bluetooth Wrestling Federation.
The Bluetoothers. Because Bluetooth was named after King Harald or Herald in Denmark.
Got you. Harald.
Bluetooth. Something or other, yeah. Because he united Denmark.
And celebrated and by having
forwarded a picture and forwarded pornography to people. So that's why the
to celebrate Denmark being united, I airdrop a picture of my dick.
I'm just thinking like Bluetooth would be a cool name.
That would be. Mm. I'd like it if you collected teeth. Although that is a gimmick done by Danhausen, the independent wrestler.
Oh, what? He collects
teeth. Just a jar of teeth. Oh. Very nice, very evil. Oh. He's an excellent performer.
I like that. What's his name?
Danhausen. He adds the word Hausen to everything. So he will sort of, for example, if he's talking about John Moxley, he will say, oh, I'm a big fan of Moxhausen. It's just a delightful, delightful gimmick. I am in love with that gimmick.
In love with him. Oh, I like him. He's got a spooky face.
Very spooky, yeah. Very really nice, very evil. Well worth checking out.
The jar of teeth, I was expecting it to be bigger.
No, it's quite
it's
small.
It's just got a small, it's quite small. I've probably got that amount of teeth in my head.
There is something that I think is often forgotten in nowadays, and it's largely to do with the way that reporting goes, because there are so many big stories coming out of WWF and AEW. The independents sort of don't really get talked about anymore, but for years, the independents have been the most important part of wrestling. They are people who are given total creative freedom to come up with stuff. And some of these things, like Danhausen, is just a beautiful independent gimmick. And if you've not really got into independent wrestling, it is 100% worth doing. There is something for everyone. And the actual sort of hunting down of that stuff is as much fun as actually them watching it. I'm such a huge fan of the indies.
Apparently, Danhausen stole one of CM Punk's moves.
Yes.
Quite recently.
Yeah, the go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yes. He didn't know he was coming back. So he thought I'll have that one, you know, and CM Punk gave it his sort of, you know, his nod.
He said, fully endorsed over here, though, very Neville.
Oh, very nice, very Neville. It's a strange gimmick, but it is brilliant. And I love that sort of the creativity of wrestling. You can sometimes see it before it gets, you know, knocked out of everyone and they become professional. He is a professional, but he's also a very creative person doing his own thing.
I want to watch
Delightful. Hey, welcome back. We're doing Money in the Bank 2020.
Money, 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 money. I can't remember what the song is. Is it Money, 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 Money?
The Shamer. Money, 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 Money. Money, Money. Yes. Yeah. He's not on this.
No.
His sister is, and she will stink up the joint. We are just about to have Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. But first, we get a little segment of the Hacker.
Yeah, the Hacker's showing your stuff in his... Yeah. Hacker's got a lot of screens.
He's got a lot of screens, and he presses a button, and all of these things appear. It's all WWE stuff. And there's, like, clearly an episode of Total Bellas and stuff, and you go... Are you hacking or have you just got the WWE network?
It's just got the network.
Because all the stuff that you can see.
A lot of logins. I can see too. Yeah. It's not hacking, really, is it?
That's not hacking.
He's just set up a lot of screens with different streams on the same IP address, which I think is allowed.
Yeah. Look, completely. I mean, you know, I don't think they should sort of. You can't call him a hacker if he's just watching telly.
Yeah, exactly. He's a telly watcher.
If you remember stuff off telly, you're not a hacker.
No.
You know?
Maybe he's like Peacock and he's just doing his due diligence. What am I buying here?
Who is the hacker? It's actually Peacock's lawyer. Don't let him watch WrestleMania 6. The WWE champion, Drew McIntyre, takes on Seth Rollins. This is the first sort of main show title defense after WrestleMania.
Right.
Where Drew McIntyre won it. Mm. So I can tell you something for nothing. You knew that he's not going to lose it on the next show out. Yep. It's always been a difficult one for them to book with the champion, that first match. Back in the day, it always seemed to be Kane.
Right.
So whenever you won the title at WrestleMania, they would immediately build you for Kane. Because Kane was an A-list big main eventer, but at the same time...
He'd happily let you go over.
Nobody thought he was going to win. And so you sort of went, I'll just have a match with Kane.
Yeah.
Chris Benoit did it. I think Daniel Bryan did it. It was always Kane. And what you've got here is you go, well, we don't do that anymore. We want people to go, anything can happen. But you're not going to have, you know, a month after WrestleMania, Drew McIntyre lose it to Seth Rollins. And so that takes away all of the jeopardy from this match. They work very hard, but that's there's not a very special feeling about this match. Not helped by the fact that there is no crowd either.
And also a lot of like Drew McIntyre's kind of video stuff before. It's like, you smashed my head into this mat. It's like,
yeah.
It's like,
they've told him to sort of go a bit casual with the whole thing. And
he's
very
much hutsy bone.
Yeah. So, you know, you think you're good, you know, I'm sure you do. All this. And it's a bit like, I don't know if this is the right note you should be palsy with us. Hey, I'm just like you, one of the fans.
I got really bashed up last time, but I'm going to have another go now.
Yeah, you're welcome to have a go, and I'm, you know, but you know, we'll see how it goes this time. Oh God!
Here's Popmasters.
The name, three songs by Lamar. That's the. I wasn't saying Jew. They didn't have a song called Jew. I was doing the noise of the buzzer.
Here's Popmaster. Jew. 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 Why is Ken shouting Jew?
I can't be disciplined. It could have been entirely positive. Was it? My lips are sealed. Oh dear. Now let's name three songs by Screwjiver. Go.
A lot of dark metal today.
It's a fine match. There's very little you can say about it. They work very hard.
Seth's got a new theme tune.
Seth's got a new theme tune. There's a funny bit at the end where
I hate the handshake, Mark. Why do they put this in?
I don't know. I feel there's that thing of going, they want Drew McIntyre to sort of solidify that he's such a good guy,
yeah.
You know, and he shakes Seth Rollins' hands because, yes, they fought, but he has respect.
Mm.
I got respect for you, Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins shakes the thing and goes, maybe I am worth
shit.
But I sort of look at it and I go, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the bad guy, Rollins.
Beat him and go. You know, it is just, again, giving them sort of a little bit of acting. You know, I don't need to deliver it.
I like the superplex into the Falcon thing move. I think the man said Falcon. I don't know what any of the moves are. It was spectacular.
The actual match itself is really good. They work really hard.
A lot of kickouts.
Yeah, and it's a good heated match. But the unfortunate thing is, of course, they are in that period where even a heated match, there is no reaction. And so they're always going to suffer by that.
He does stand on the announcer's table and shout, "This is my kingdom," or something like that. And it's like, you're just on a table, mate. That's not a kingdom.
Anyone standing on a table shouting, "This is my kingdom," is either really drunk or about to be tased. You know, you don't. There's no way that that's ending well. Man, you get R-Truth then looking at very sadly at a photograph, and it turns out it's of himself wearing his 24/7 belt.
He's in the cupboard. He's in like a lighted cupboard where they keep all the lights. Very enjoyable.
He's basically saying, "Look, I'm going to go back. I've had enough of pretending, you know, trying to do the good matches. I'm going back to my silly thing." And he says, "I'm going to sack you, Tom Brady."
Yeah.
And then the interviewer has to say, he means Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, dear.
First thing back after WrestleMania, what's clear is, of course, is that 24/7 thing has been derailed because Rob Gronkowski has got it. Yeah. And he's not doing
anything. He's not going to do anything else.
He's not going to do anything. Mm. They eventually have to film something at his house where R-Truth wins the belt off him on his own lawn. The amount of, like, angling round what Rob Gronkowski needs.
Yeah.
Why they ever went, "Let's make him an employee."
Has he got a contract or hasn't he? You know what I mean? Does he do anything? Why do you have to film at his house?
They must have something that said, "You have to occasionally do stuff for us." And him just going, "Well, if you want to do it, come to my house, we can do it in my garden." Yeah. And they just go, "Yes, we'll bring all the cameras there. We'll bring R-Truth there." You know, I mean, it's just, the man's a I'm so glad that they did axe this failed experiment. But I'm so annoyed it ever happened. And then we get, Pete, our main event.
The main event.
On a pay-per-view, which is a sensible 2 hours and 14 minutes.
Oh, when I saw that, I was like, wow. And there's certain points where I thought, could be shorter. But 2 hours, I was like, good. This is how long all of the shows should be.
It still felt long. I didn't sort of go, "Oh, that went by in a blur."
Well, I sort of had, I didn't want to go in the cabin down in the garden. I was, I'll just do this on the breakfast bar. Yeah. It's 2 hours 40. I was like, "This is long breakfast bar seat." My lumbar's hurting.
I was watching it last night and I started it about 9:30 and there is something about the WWE Network, whether they lie about the time, I don't know.
Yo, what, do you reckon it goes slower?
I did not pause it, and I didn't finish until quarter to midnight.
What's that about?
I know, there's definitely a discrepancy. Yeah. By the end of the Drew McIntyre one, I was sitting on my sofa, and I was aware I was really hot. It's hot out at the minute, and I sort of overheated. And I thought to myself, "Oh, I'm going to pass out."
The day after the podcast.
It
show
was,
as well.
I was absolutely bushed, and I really sort of felt hot, and I was like, "Oh, this is awful." Another hour and everything. It felt like it was slow, but then again, I was tired. I was hot. All those things. No one's ever went. It flew by, and I was so tired and so hot.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I was driving from London to where I live in Essex, and I was like, "Oh, I shouldn't have been driving. So tired." But what I would say is that
tiredness kills.
Tiredness kills.
What's your speed? Your son does.
Don't be shy. Your mother wasn't. What does that even mean? I don't know. We gave the money to Camden Council, and that's what they spent it on.
This is your dad. Kiss your dad.
But I just behind the car when we did the podcast show. I'm a new car driver.
Yeah.
It's the first time I sort of driven in the congestion zone, for example.
Yeah.
Drove just parked up in this zone, and the lamppost seemed to indicate that it was all free parking.
Oh yeah.
And I just walked off.
Yeah.
Left my car. Didn't get a ticket.
Yeah.
Liberty. Didn't even pay for it.
That's amazing.
It was such, I lucked out, like, you wouldn't believe.
People don't realise that
park anywhere.
For some reason, all the streets around King's Cross, the busy yes. station, free.
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 All free parking.
After 12:30 on a Saturday, all the way
parking.
Through to Sunday.
Insane.
Mental.
What are they thinking? You can make so much money.
You can't park outside my house for like 6 days of the week. But I can go to the railway terminus, and then I can go to Ghent and come back, and it's all free. Madness. Oh, man. But you try and tell a Londoner what an alpaca is.
That's what I parked up on. That's what I'm driving at the moment.
I drive an alpaca. That would be amazing. What type of car is that? No, it's a fucking alpaca.
Have some respect. You know what this is, fucking Londoner.
Yeah, I got it cheap because it's got TB, and we're basically on the run, the two of us. They mix the two Money in the Bank matches together, and that sounds on paper like a terrible idea. It's good because it does mean that we get through it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of back and forth. They've tried to make it like an action movie. And one of the things they've really done here is they've put a continuous soundtrack behind. And when you notice it, it is absolutely unbearable.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, maybe it was the breakfast bar. The speakers weren't loud enough.
Yeah. They start off in the lobby of the WWE HQ. You see, there's also a Ric Flair statue as well.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, yeah. The only living one. Well, I mean, not living statues, not like like a horror with someone, you know.
Well, look, I mean, he spoke to Rene Paquette this week on a Oral Sessions podcast.
Oh, did he?
He said, WWE won't even let me walk up the stairs for liability reasons. I can't. I can stand in a ring, but Rene, it's kind of like I said, I either want to die in a ring or on top of Wendy. Oh,
he is wonderful. And there's something about Flair, is he's never more calm and more sort of open and dirty than when he's not part of the WWE.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he is, it's wonderful just to see him having fun and picking up checks and everybody loving him. I mean, he is the greatest.
He's a Rolls Royce.
He really is. He is an alpaca. The sports alpaca. They start off with the lifts.
Yeah.
And the ladies all come out. They play their theme music as well. And I sort of go, what am I watching? Am I watching this live and it's being played in live, or is it in the room? Can they hear it? Do they have like a boom box or someone changing tapes? And out they come and they all line up. And the lining up is really annoying.
The lining up of, anyone is problematic.
Yeah, it always looks a little bit as well like you've gone to somewhere called, like, I don't know, like the Diamond Tootsies. Mine. Yeah, you know, the Catnip Ranch. And everyone comes out and they're also wearing, you know, different forms of underwear.
Yeah.
And they all stand there. But the lining up is really super annoying because what it suggests is, it suggests they're waiting for something.
Yeah.
And they are waiting for something because even though we have a load of cuts in between this, they pull out and there is Asuka, who is on top of the lifts.
She's chaos, mate. She is on top of the
lifts.
She's on the balcony.
Yep.
She screams something in Japanese.
Kicking her legs back and forth.
She's doing a little dance. She's got a new dance. Is that a new dance?
She's
invented a new dance.
Japanese chaos, isn't it?
It's just like, all right, we're just going to have a normal... Oh, God, who's that?
And there she is. And she jumps off and they all land on the marble floor.
Yeah.
And then she just runs for the lift.
She's endlessly brilliant. And it's just perfect for this sort of thing.
She, again, we saw it in WrestleMania. She went, do you know what? If there's no crowds, I have to generate the noise.
Yeah.
And so all she does is continually speak in Japanese. And it's just delightful. I like the fact that she isn't filtering it.
Yeah.
That she isn't going, you know, oh, good move. She is just going, I will just stick to Japanese. I will stick and I will go for it 100%. And she is a force of nature.
It's the last person you want in an office.
Oh, absolutely.
Last person you want in an office.
One of the few is actually, you know, I think she is a graphic designer. She's worked with Microsoft and people like that. So she is probably the only one who has had an office job, which is why she's probably like, I'm never going to come in here without being chaotic. You know, I'm not going back to that world. The annoying thing about that is they line up, and of course you have that thing of going, okay, so they didn't see her there in that big atrium. They didn't see a woman up there
hanging on the thing screaming.
And I do have that thing about like suspension of disbelief. And you do something like this and it's fine, but it makes the other four seem like, you go, oh, okay, because it's fake. They didn't notice her because it's fake.
And also just Carmella when she does the moonwalk. I think it's Carmella.
Yeah.
Squeaky shoes.
Yes.
Very squeaky shoes.
And Dana Brooke comes out and she does her like handstand thing and they're all doing a bit of their entrance. And the men's one is handled a bit better. They just rock up to a gym.
Yeah.
They all sort
of
wander in.
They're going to be in a gym, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're going to be in a gym.
Yeah. They all sort of go, okay, we're starting off here, and they all walk in. It is slightly odd because they sort of, when they walk in, they have to announce themselves. So I think Otis just comes in and goes, oh, yeah, a lot. He says that
sets and reps. Sets and reps.
You get Baron Corbin coming in, still wearing his crown and carrying his scepter, which again, is sort of weird, like he's been dropped off like that. And
yeah,
he just
like he's come straight from a party.
Yeah.
And he's like, got to drop this off and get a shower.
Yeah. What you get is you get Daniel Bryan comes in, and he comes in with the most dignity out of everyone, because he just comes in and goes, ooh, everyone's ready. And that's the sort of reaction you do. You don't walk in and go, hello, everyone, the king is here.
you do, liar.
I know.
All the time.
When you walk into a room, you tend to see what's going on. And you go, all right, how's it going? Yeah. Hey, mate, so, nice to see you.
Hey.
And Brian at least does that, but everyone else does that. Does sort of come in and just going, I guess you could say that the champ is here. You know, it's a bit weird. Yeah, the you know, it's a mess, this. It's a... a sort of fun mess.
Oh, a nice fun mess.
It's like a student film.
It is like a student film. It's like, it's a bit Scooby-Doo. It's a bit video gamey. It's
the,
a bit
the
like...
The big stars have never seemed so sort of silly and willing to do whatever they're told.
It's a real callback to, you know, your Saturday morning cartoon kind of wrestling.
I think it really is.
And it's kind of like... You know, Rey Mysterio needs to go back to his film stuff because his costumes are terrible.
Though. Yes, they are.
You know, Baron Corbin like smashes up a mirror and stuff. He throws a weight through a window.
There's some great things about after this match happened. People said, are they going to do an angle where Baron Corbin for the next 7 years has nothing but bad luck? Because they make a big thing of him. He throws a plate into the mirror. And he does look at it like,
oh, is that
away,
why he's gutted?
And they look back.
Because it's 10 years. How many have you
7 years, bad luck. Yeah. And then he looks at it and he's like, oh. And they're like, well, there was a very clear thing that they registered that.
Yeah.
And people were like, wouldn't it be great if for the next 7 years they just give him nothing but bad luck?
Yeah.
And after the 7 years, as soon as the curse is broken, what an exciting thing. A, you've got to have him for a long time. That's a big investment. Yeah. But they've just run a really successful angle with him where he loses everything and he's got no money and he's down on his luck.
Oh.
I'm not sure they've tied it back in with
King
this.
King to pauper.
But watching this, it's a really sort of like...
So you could sort of go back and sort of go, this is where it started, Baron.
They've lucked into it. They have forgotten it happened, but it makes sense of stuff that's gone on, which is sort of sweetly done.
You kind of forget because he's so slight and quite rangy. Like, he's fucking tall.
Huge.
Like, he's a really big guy.
A huge man.
He's so thin, you don't know.
It's because he's well proportioned.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he's got that thing, if you see him on TV and it's only when you see someone standing next to him, you go, oh, he's scaled up. You know, it's not that he's just this sort of like, you know, like you and I. It's a big corporate gym, that, isn't it? That's the one that Vince McMahon you see working out in quite a lot.
Right, okay.
I think in the 80s and 90s, like popular wrestlers like Hulk Hogan were sort of like training there and that's where they'd all train. But with the performance center, it's redundant now.
Yeah, you'd think that if you were that minted, you wouldn't want to be working out with anyone else. You just want a private gym, wouldn't you?
Exactly. And I think that's slightly what's come. It's also what's quite noticeable is some of those machines looked a bit dated, which was sort of funny. It wasn't like state of the art anymore.
No, yeah, there's no like kind of like low oxygen chambers and stuff.
No,
like that.
And there was nothing sort of cross trainery. It was all just like big lumps
heavy
of
things.
Like when they used to get a bucket of concrete and stick a pole in it, and that was how they used to make those
thing.
Sort of like...
Wait, this is what I've got. Can you see this microphone stand I found? It says made in West Germany on the bottom.
Oh my God.
Proper old metal.
They're listening to us, Pete. Which is excellent. It helps with the ad revenue.
Yeah, it really does.
you get this sort of bit where it cuts in between the women and the men. There's a bit where Otis traps AJ Styles under a barbell, you
That's
know,
right,
a
yes,
weightlifting.
Yes,
what's it called? Weightlifting stick.
A big chest press.
Big chest press thing.
Leg.
The best thing is when he picks it up, Otis goes, "Oh, gonna do some weightlifting, baby." He's definitely going. You need to fill the gaps, but he's not quite sure what to put in them.
No,
and he is just constantly going, "Oh yeah," a bit like Randy Savage all the time.
It doesn't get any. It does not get any better than Otis in this match. No. Like modern, if modern wrestling could just be Asuka and.
Otis.
An Otis
and it seemed because of the result, it seemed like that's the way they were going.
Yeah, they should.
It does. It will
Bloody
change.
Great.
There's a bit where they run past the toilets, and I think it's
brother loves having a shit,
but taking a shit.
Yeah,
doing up his trousers as he comes out. What's really funny is that for his whole career, Bruce Pritchard, who is the writer, the podcast that he did basically really got him back into WWE.
Right.
But he has been Brother Love since 1988.
Mm.
And this is the first time when he's come out, he didn't look like Brother Love.
No.
It looked a bit shonky. The weirdest thing is they clock him and he kind of goes, I love you. And then
it's
they go,
rare, isn't it?
And then it just shows the camera stays on him, and he just walks over to the sink and begins washing his hands. It's like, why did he cut out earlier?
Is that like a COVID thing? I don't know. When was it kind of recorded?
See a bit later in Vince McMahon's office where he puts hand sanitizer on.
Yeah.
After the two guys,
and
have
they linger
in.
On that for ages as well.
They do.
It's a fetish.
I couldn't work
Old
out
men
whether
washing their hands.
Yeah, it's really strange. But the thing is, the other thing about washing his hands is that made me go, he's definitely done a shit.
He's definitely done a shit. Yeah.
And he's got some on his hands.
little Bruce Pritchard fingers gone right through the toilet paper and into his anus.
There is an image.
Yeah.
You don't need to get his blue pill on his podcast anymore. That image will carry you through. It's a knockoff Viagra.
Right, okay.
But
cool.
They advertise a lot. Yeah. I think it's
a love sex. And if you love sex too, right, have a fucking pill.
Love being able to have sex again. Repulsive. So upstairs they go, they run up the stairs, and there's a room that's like black and red. That is normal, like they haven't changed it, but it's got a sort of vague feeling of the lighting of The Fiend as well. Mm. It feels a bit like a corporate brothel sort of floor. It's not very relaxing. I didn't like it, but it's got a bit outside the ring, outside the lifts rather, which has got a
little ring.
Yeah, a mock-up sort of ring bit, which presumably you have photos taken in front of if you get there.
But the daughter of a man who worked, an executive that works for WWE. Well,
yeah, exactly.
Get a picture with the ring? Not really.
No. Do I have to?
I want to play on the iPad.
Yeah, and they fight in that and they knock it about. And this has got one of the strangest bits. So Otis and Corbin get sort of kicked the shit out of by Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And the camera goes, you know, as Bryan runs up the stairs following Aleister Black. It goes from Otis, who's on the floor, it goes to Baron Corbin, and then it goes to an empty chair in the corner. And a hand appears. And it comes up and it's Doink the Clown.
That's right. Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't even write this down because I was half watching and Doink appeared. And I was like, hang on. Right. I've got to go back. And then I missed it again. Yeah. Fuck. I forgot that happened.
The worst thing about it, Pete, the worst thing is how lazy that is, because he comes up and they haven't got the fucking Doink suit on him. It's just a guy wearing a normal work shirt.
His face
lazy
is too,
pigs.
And the last time we saw Doink, this was in like the SD, the standard definition generation.
Yeah.
We couldn't, it's too wrinkly and it's too HD. It's
If you can't just do, when you're WWE, you can't just be a fucking little 1993 independent show where you get a fake Doink on that isn't the real Doink,
no.
That was never a Doink.
People know who that
doesn't
Doink
look
is.
Like a Doink.
Yeah.
You don't have someone sit up with a fucking Arn Anderson 1992 vinyl mask on like that. It's the shirt for me is the laziest bit. But they're like, you don't need to put the costume on, you just leave on your normal clothes and don't come up too far. It comes up too far.
Yeah,
but it's also
they're trying to say that Doink's like an executive now, like Bruce Pritchard.
And the worst thing about this is the people they get in, they don't say, let's get in a former star.
Mm.
They get in Bruce Pritchard, who runs the shows.
Yeah.
They get in a writer to pretend to be Doink.
Yeah.
They will get in John Laurinaitis, who is working in talent relations. Mm-hmm. And they'll get in Vince.
Yeah, everyone who's already there.
Exactly that. Mm. Who have we got in the room? And then they go, do you know what? We're big enough stars. You're not.
You're not.
You're
just
not.
Give me a room full of Diesel and fucking whoever. Just get me a room all around a fucking... It's like they're always there and they're having a meeting.
Completely. Why is it that everyone who appears in this is a suit?
You get
Paul Heyman makes a cameo as well. They're all late. It's not even late middle-aged men. They are all men in
elderly
their,
men.
They're coming up to, if they haven't passed it already, 60.
Yeah.
And they go, that will do. It will not do. We get all the Doink thing. The women then go into a sort of quite bland meeting room where the music music swells because the Money in the Bank briefcase is hanging above the table.
Yeah.
And Dana Brooke manages to get it. She pulls it down and she's delighted, obviously, because she's won the match.
Mm.
Oh, but no.
Oh, no, but no.
Oh, but no. And she looks up and she kind of goes, I think you hear Stephanie go, Dana Brooke, like that. And Dana Brooke looks up.
Yeah.
So we know that she's looking at the door, right?
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Stephanie McMahon.
Filmed on an iPhone.
Filmed on a fucking iPhone.
In a different city.
Different
on a static camera.
Different lighting. Yep. Different resolution.
She's looking, the eyelines aren't
the
right.
The eyeline is well off. Well off. And they are saying that this is good enough. Once again, Pete, it's a $4 billion company.
Just move the camera around so it looks like, you know, you're using the same cameras.
Get in the editing suite and just go... Like
wobble it around a bit.
Color match. Just, it would be that simple. Do you know what you could also do? You could get Stephanie McMahon to come from her home in Stamford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
To Stamford, Connecticut, to the
where
building
she
where she works.
Where she works, yeah.
And you could say, Steph, it'll only take 3 minutes. Sorry about this. We won't have anyone in the room, but let's just get a shot of you outside of it. Done. Didn't bother.
Didn't bother.
And stuff like that, you just go, this is inexcusable. This is proper bargain basement.
And the thing that gets me, it's basically saying, we're such a fun company. In our boardroom or in some of the meeting rooms, we'll have a little more teeth.
Yeah.
We'll have a little money in the bank thing. Because it's sort of saying, that's always there.
Yeah.
Don't we have fun here? Like, even
isn't
though it's
it?
A really
isn't it?
Faceless and you, corporate building.
You got the wrong one. But the other thing is, we as fans didn't know that was there.
No.
So it's just like, yeah. We go, oh, so it's over. And they go, oh, no, that's a different one. You might as well just go, oh, yeah, sorry, there are two. But it's not that one, it's a different one.
Actually, it's three, because it's a boys one and a girls one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm really sorry, that's actually, we fucked up there. Anyway, please do carry on. It's so, with this thing, when they sort of talk about themselves being entertainment, they always talk about, you know, what is the competition? And people ask this question because of AEW. Yeah. What is the competition?
Yeah.
And they joke and they say, well, the only competition we have is people needing to sleep. You know, we just want eyes on us. And they talk about, like, you know, all television is the competition.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were watching, I don't know, the fucking Sopranos, and there's just one shot in there that's entirely wrong, where they have a key moment where someone does some explanation, and that person is literally, you know, they sort of go, who's that outside the room? And it cuts to a cave, and the guy's hanging upside down, and he's dressed as, I don't know, a fucking bat. And he goes, I wanted to come here because there's been a big problem with the... You just go, why didn't they do it properly? And that's what they do here. You just go, you pretend that you are mainstream entertainment,
yeah.
And then you do stuff that mainstream entertainment would never in a million years countenance, and you think it's fine.
Yeah.
And that to me is just like, that to me is a real key moment in watching how WWE, you go, you are, oddly, you are a provincial mum and pop operation.
Yeah.
Because everybody saw that and they went, it's fine.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not fine.
You've got the building, you just don't have the fucking skill.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a mad decision. It's so poor. We then cut to AJ Styles, who's looking for Rey Mysterio, and he sees the most frightening thing that you could ever see, which is a photograph of The Undertaker.
Mark, I hope I never see a photograph of The Undertaker.
I mean, you know...
It would give me the real wheelies.
Even though I knew it was a photograph, I would...
You clutched your daughter close.
Absolutely. I sold the house. I know he's supposed to be frightened of The Undertaker,
yeah.
But AJ Styles understands the difference between the real man and a photograph,
yeah.
And also that in being in WWE headquarters, there's a chance he's going to see a photograph of The Undertaker.
Exactly. You might even see The Undertaker, to be honest.
Yeah, well, exactly. And he sees it and he just goes...
He loses his fucking mind.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no way.
Oh, my God.
No way. He says a creed. No way. No way that there might be a picture of one of the biggest stars in WWE history in the WWE headquarters. Oh, no. What then happens is unimaginable for poor AJ, which is a door gets opened. And inside one of these empty offices is a coffin and a load of dry ice.
It's the new executive spooky room that everyone gets into.
There's something about the office environment which does not make it frightening. And when the door is opened and AJ sees it, you just sort of go, this is garishly lit. It doesn't look very professional. It's certainly not frightening.
Why is it there? Unless The Undertaker turns up right now, there's no point in this room.
Exactly. And anyway, AJ gets locked in the room. He doesn't even get locked in the room.
No,
he gets pushed in and Aleister Black clicks the door shut. And we know because AJ's opened it that it just opens.
Yes. Yeah. But there's no lock engaged.
Have you ever tried to open a door handle, Pete, when you are absolutely livid with fear?
My bum is just expelling everything that I've eaten for the last 3 days. Just out. I'm just shit everywhere.
And we don't see him again, I don't think, in this match. Oh, we do. Right at the end. Yeah. At which point he's fine. He doesn't mention how he got out. It's just, I was just in there. I had a bit of like downtime and I realised none of it was scary and I didn't need to be worried.
So I saw a photocopy.
Yeah, so I just
snapped out of it.
No way.
Nia Jax came in. She was dressed like Michael Jackson. We had a chat. We don't know why. Confused.
It cuts from that bit to Paul Heyman, who has gone into the corporate headquarters at night,
yep.
And has ordered a buffet for 100 people. And he sat behind it like Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
And he's now going to have a slap-up feed.
Yeah, and he start. It seems to me that the plate closest to him is a bowl of cooked but unseasoned. There's no sauce on it. Pasta, pasta, wiggly pasta that just has no sauce on it.
This is how I take my pasta. I like it pure. I like it raw. I like it natural. He is about to have this what I would call the world's saddest meal before suddenly all of these wrestlers appear, and Heyman demands they all settle down. And Otis, for some reason, begins shaking.
Yeah, what's that about?
I think they're like,
He's excited about the food.
He doesn't get across the fact that he's seen the food and he's just so excited to see food. Because he's big boy.
Yeah.
You have to go, big boy wrestler. He will slit someone's throat just to have some tucker. Nom, 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 nom. Because that's what fat people are like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can't stop. Nom, nom. I don't care about like being at WrestleMania or fighting these people. If I see some unsourced pasta, I will go.
If I see like a little steak sandwich. I'm going to fucking lose my head.
He loses his head and he suddenly just screams out, food, fight.
He's crazy about food, but he doesn't want to get any in his mouth. I think he gets a little bit of wafer thin ham in his mouth at one point.
I wonder if there's a thing they're doing here, which is that he's like John Belushi's character in National Lampoon's Animal House, because that's a film full of food fights. It's a very American reference. And I think John Belushi plays a character called Bluto.
Right.
And he was supposed to be the slob.
Right.
And so they've slightly gone, hey, it'd be great if you did... they'd have said all of that from apart 80s. From the word slob. They'd have said, and the John Belushi character, he's like a fun guy. They'll have said that. The men and the women are both here and they have a food fight, which for some reason they don't really show. They go food fight and then you look at it and there's loads of food on the floor.
Yeah.
So they filmed it and they obviously went, look, shit. Just look shit. Just cut out. There was so much food on the floor there, and I was really like, that is going to be a problem for a year.
It's going to smell.
They'll have scraped
funky.
It all up, and they'll just be like, we've washed it twice. But
the fibres.
Yeah, it's thank God there was no sauce in the pasta. But they'll have
that's
done
probably
that.
Why they did it, actually, thinking about
could
it.
Have been. The first thing that gets thrown in Heyman's face is rice.
Yes.
And the rice.
It's very greasy rice.
It is. It looks like maggots as well. And when he stands there, I was like, oh, this isn't like fun when there's sort of like, you know, a custard pie.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, it's bits of like maggoty rice.
And he sort of reacts to getting a lot of rice jammed in his mouth, jammed in his face, that as if to sort of go, how dare you?
How dare you?
But the thing is, you're coming from, you're not really a position of, you're not a character of authority because you've just gone to the fucking, your office at midnight to have a feast by yourself. I mean, so no one respects you, Paul.
That is a massive meltdown. If you went into the office and you were like, I've just got to pick something up and then, you know, then I'm going straight home. And you went in there and there was a co-worker and he was sitting behind a banquet table outside the lift.
Deliveroo guy who's delivering.
You know, is everything all right at home, Paul? I don't want to talk about it.
No, I'm in wrestling. Of course it isn't. Jesus Christ.
I can't remember where my home is.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
They have this food fight, and it's I mean, it is not hilarious. The best bit in this is some of the women start attacking the men, and then Shayna Baszler puts Rey Mysterio into a really sort of like tight chokehold.
Yeah.
There's always the thing of going, Rey is little, so
he's throw him around. Yeah.
I'd have liked to seen Shayna Baszler do it to Aleister Black. I think that is the thing of going, give them parity. Don't go like one of the best women could take on one of the smallest guys.
Yeah.
Just go, if the women and the men, they're at the same level.
Yeah.
You know, put her against Aleister Black and have him choke out. Just
because let's make that very clear, she could kill every last one of hers in that room.
She at this point seemed like she was on a even though there'd been some stop starts with the WrestleMania loss, she seemed like a big star. And this was probably the last time that we realised that, you know, before we realised rather that they were just going to go, don't like this.
Yeah.
You know, and off she'd go.
I liked Nia Jax absolutely barreling Carmella through the table.
Yes.
She absolutely fucking does that.
She does. And Carmella is laughing as she goes through. And that is a proper laugh of nerves, isn't it? She's really like, I don't like this at all. Nia Jax has got a reputation for being not clumsy, but just injuring people.
Right.
She injured Kairi Sane. She injured, in fact, last week she got into a proper, I say last week, it's probably 3 weeks ago now. Mm. She got into a proper sort of shoot bit in a match she had with Charlotte Flair.
Ooh.
They had a miscommunication, and then Charlotte Flair began hitting Nia Jax. Nia Jax just would go, seriously, you know, you're going to stop this, you're going to stop this. And it was all going out on TV.
Oh!
So that is an exciting thing. Someone has asked, can we do it for WrestleMania?
I think that's a good choice.
But she has got a bit of reputation. So I think when you're told by, you know, they say, well, you're going to be doing it not in the confines of the ring, but in our corporate headquarters, you're going to go through a table onto the hard floor. You'd sort of go, okay, and who's putting me through the table? They'll go, Nia Jax. You would just go, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I've just got to ring my family. Just want to speak to them if I can. All of them in turn, if that's okay. The next bit is a weird sort of thing because they just walk off. They're all just like, okay, we'll carry
on
now.
Fight.
But then they immediately have Otis find a cafeteria. This is two food bits in a row. And he finds a pie. And again, he goes, a pie! Oh, yes, pie! When he was speaking, I was like, what does it remind me of? And it reminds me of the family, the mother in Making a Murderer, the Netflix thing. And he's just going, oh, a pie! Oh, yes! Like that.
Her son did want to watch WrestleMania. Was it
he
son?
Did, no, yeah, no. He did. He's a big WWE fan. One of the best.
Fred West, great though.
John Laurinaitis, I can never say his name. Johnny Ace, turns up wearing his white suit. He says, people power! Which was a sort of long-running feud that I didn't really enjoy or watch from about 2010-11,
nice.
Where he was the authority figure on WWE TV. Ended up having a main event against John Cena, which seemed a bit mad at the time, seems absolutely demented now. And he gets the pie in his face.
Mm.
For some reason, he's on a mobility scooter. They don't really explain that. I can't remember if there was a period.
Well.
No, he's fine.
Oh, he's fine.
I think there might have been a period where he used that to come to the ring, but I can't remember it. And if I can't remember it, look, no one can.
Good God.
Yeah. And he sits there for ages with a pie on his face. And Vince McMahon would like that because he's like, the people I worked with, I made one of them have a shit. I made the other one get a pie in the face. We're about to see Vince. He's about to get his comeuppance, isn't he?
Oh, Mark. He looks like he's been... They come into a boardroom. They come into Vince McMahon's office. Yeah. The most unlovable office I've seen.
Strange
That's
office.
That's where he works. It is so indistinct. It is so just looks like a normal kind of furnished $50 a day fucking furnished office.
Completely.
If it didn't have the dinosaur skull
on the dinosaur skull is fucking spectacular. But yeah, the lack of sort of, I don't know, the lack of, and you know, with a company like that, they are publicly traded. They aren't interested in going, this is a museum of all the stuff we've done over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
It is just, but it's so impersonal. They've owned it for so long, that building.
Mm.
You'd think it would be impossible not to go, well, some of the stuff is cluttered up here. And these empty rooms with nothing in
them. They've got so much tat on their hands and they just feel, they just don't want to do any of it. You don't want to use it for anything.
It is just weird. When they barrel into that room as well, you know, the two of them are fighting and Vince then just sort of turns round. He looks like he's been boiled in vinegar.
He looks like he's been stung by bees. And if you I think when we did WrestleMania 36, I accidentally skipped forward to WrestleMania 37, which was obviously a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he's clearly, he's puffed up in the face.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think it's because how...
He looks here.
Terrible he looks here.
Yeah.
The lighting's terrible. Again, didn't do good lighting.
Nope.
He just said, we've already got lights. Why do we need lights? We've already got lights. Well, because you look like you've been stung by a bee. You freak.
You get AJ and Daniel Bryan coming in. And what's funny about this, of course, is he's obviously like, if I'm going to have any of them coming in, I want the two clean ones in. I'm not having Otis in here. I'm not having Corbin in here. You know, I'm not having...
Ask your shit in the kettle.
Yeah. I'm not having that Dutch fucking pervert in here. Make no bones about that. So in come AJ and Daniel Bryan. They fight about and Vince turns round. I mean, he's got a weird thing behind his desk as well, which is like an arm, a sort of like art piece of an American soldier.
Right.
Couldn't tell if it was him, you know, on one of those tribute to the troop things. But it's got the, you know, the stars and stripes. And the guy, it looks almost like it's made up of smaller pictures, like a magic eye picture.
Oh, like those things. Like,
shit art is this? Why isn't there a fucking picture of Andre behind you stupid idiot? it just looked weird. And Vince just sort of goes, out! And... they get the two of them, Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, the two, you know, two A-list stars, and they're both going, sorry, we're so sorry, please,
boss. I understand the gag, boss. But it's just executed quite poorly. Like
you do it with Baron Corbin, you know, because you want people who are inferior, rather than, you suddenly realise you have that thing of going, the A-listers, you know, Vince McMahon has no time for any of them. He treats them like young, like boys. You boys.
Get out of my office,
you know, boys. What are you doing in the headmaster's office? You know, it's exactly that feel to it. But the two of them are also going, ha-ha, like they know it's sort of funny and people thinking it's funny and thinking about people at home really gonna like this. They go, oh, sorry, it's so shit.
And I'll say it again, Vince is unrecognizably strange looking.
So yeah,
you just sort of like, is that definitely Vince?
He's also sitting at his desk, and when they leave, he sanitizes his hands, not in a way of going, ugh, horrible boys.
No,
he just goes, sanitize my hands, and then he goes, now to start work. And he spins round, and there's a tiny little desk behind him with a yellow pad on, and he starts writing stuff down. What are you writing down in the middle of a paper? Where, what's next WrestleMania plans? You know, it's so cheesy and weird. Just makes no sense that they go, and then you turn away from your desk and work on your little desk.
If I was him, I would not be, I'd be washing the door. My fucking life, because you have upset a lot of big boys in your time.
I'd be. I think it would have been funnier if it had been the hacker sitting there, and then that had turned out to be Vince.
He puts the hood up and goes, "Oh, back to my hacking." Oh, and all the screens appear, and he goes,
"I'm not looking in Lacey Evans's room that we gave them the camera for, and I've left that on, and it's remotely controlled. Nothing to do with me. She's such a beautiful Southern belle."
back when men were men and women were women,
women knew their place. Asuka, she's then running around, and she is just a, as you say, just a dynamic ball of Japanese malevolence. She's wonderful. She gets up onto the roof.
Yes.
At this point, we actually see a little bit of proper wrestling for a minute, and you realise you've just not seen it. All we've seen is people essentially playing tag, and they're suddenly up on the roof and they start doing some moves, and Nia Jax looks really powerful. One of the shots that you get, you can see that long road that it's on, East Main Street, and you just see the cars, the taillights, just going in there. And it is a sort of weird thing where you sort of go, I think they've been criticised before where people are like, you should be in New York. Why are you out in the middle of nowhere? And they're always like, well, because it's a useful place to get out to the whole country. You know, we don't want to be stuck on the Isle of Manhattan having to go up the top. So they've got this thing about in Stanford. And you suddenly realise there, you go, this is a pretty unremarkable slice of America. So what they've done on the roof is they've put up a load of trees. and they've uplit them in an attempt to shield you from just going, this looks like it's in the middle of quite a low rent district.
Yes, yeah, yeah, it would be as well.
Yeah, it's, oh man. Asuka just gets up the ladder eventually, and Baron Corbin suddenly appears, and he sort of runs up the ladder. Instead of going for the case, he seems to be keener to stop Asuka getting hers, which doesn't really make any storyline sense, but she kicks him off, and then she pulls the case down.
Mm.
Worth saying, there is no commentary in this match until they take the cases
that
down.
That was really weird, and really I didn't miss it until it was back, and I was like, what's that about?
Yeah, and then you sort of realise, you go, God, I haven't had anything to grip onto. There's no one, if you like, pushing the story or telling me where people are or reminding me what we're doing. What you get here is you get, again, it's a voiceover line that's been recorded somewhere entirely acoustically different to everything we've seen before.
Yeah.
So you get Michael Cole, he just goes, he sort of goes, Asuka winning that, but it sounds entirely different. And he does it in such a way that it's like they said, can you just do this? And he's not seen it before, and he's gone, Asuka winning the belt there, she's won the women's Money in the Bank. And they've just gone, fine. Yep.
Yeah.
And it put, oh, it's so
it's,
bad.
It's when you edit stuff like that, that you're, when you're too close to it, you can't take a step back and go and watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
You've got to watch the whole thing to actually sort of pinpoint, that sounded bad.
Yeah.
We need another reading of that.
Yeah.
But because you're so close to it, oh, just get it fucking done. Just get it.
Yeah, no, it's there. All the pieces are in place. Marvellous.
Yeah.
She then does some Japanese shouting, which is good. She understands how it works. Mm. And then out comes Otis. All the women have disappeared by this point. They've all pissed off.
Yeah.
It's time for the gentleman.
Time for the gentleman.
Time for the gentleman to start stamping about. His foot goes through a gimmicked rung on the ladder.
Yeah. Now, I was like, that's impressive because some moments ago, Asuka, and I rewound it to check, she was standing on that same rung seconds ago, and I thought, is this a pre-record?
Yeah.
I'm such a fucking mark. Just like, so all of the things that would have been impressive about this kind of this match was all kind of pre-recorded, so you kind of go, not as impressive.
No, if they brought a new ladder in, that's boring, rather than having Asuka work her way around it.
Yeah.
Do you know, it was amazing. I saw that and I wrote it down and I was like, that's a gimmick thing. So you're saying he's too big to use a ladder?
Yeah.
And I was like, there's a part of me that just goes, you know, again, it's a little bit like, oh, he's too big.
Yeah.
This morning, I have a ladder in the middle of my front room because I've got a weird mezzanine level you can only get to with a wooden ladder. Yesterday, I'd said to Liz, I've got to fix that bottom bit. I would say after, 8 hours after watching this, I stepped on the bottom rung of that ladder and it went straight
crunch.
Up. I thought, like, you'd think you'd go, I just went down. Didn't. Yeah. Went off to the side. Didn't spin around. And because it's against the back of my sofa, I just rolled onto the back of the sofa and I was like, that really hurt, I thought. But what are the chances that 8 hours before I watched someone do the exact same thing and my ladder's sitting there and going, oh, he liked that bit. I'll do that. He's big.
Otis really, I mean, the thing about the actual, I know you probably had to give it some welly to go through, both yourself and Otis, I presume. But Otis really stamps on the first rung of the ladder and it goes through. So it's kind of going, well, don't stamp on it like that.
No.
Nobody gets on a ladder like that, Otis.
No, that's
fucking
true.
Idiot.
We then pretty much, I mean, by this point, I think it's 4 minutes left in the show. I mean, Baron Corbin uses those 4 minutes to throw Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black to their deaths.
Right. It makes me laugh so much because they're on top of a fucking 10-story building, right?
Yeah.
And they just throw two wrestlers off the building.
Whoop.
And they don't go, I guess because there's no commentary. But
yeah,
you've just killed two men.
Yeah.
Killed them.
But then I was thinking about this and I was thinking, well, actually, the funny thing about it is there is a noise. And there is a noise quite quickly.
Yeah, so you sort of go,
I don't remember that being on the original broadcast. I'm not sure if that was put in after. But the thing is, actually, the thing about it is, it's not CGI'd. It's not filmed somewhere else.
No.
They did genuinely throw them over that bit, and there just must be another part of the building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was like, well,
you don't know that.
Baron Corbin wouldn't know that. He tried to kill them, but it failed. So I was watching it and sort of going, yeah, there's that thing about, oh, they fall to their deaths and everything. Yeah. But then I was like, where did they fall?
Where did they go?
They do go over the edge.
Yeah.
You know?
Over they go.
But it is funny. I mean, the very fact that they don't run a thing, you know, where It'd be so funny to just have Baron Corbin arrested for murder.
Arms around behind his back, lights gone.
And they'll just, you know, or cutting to the two of them and them just, you know, hanging off a fucking flagpole together. Like Harold Lloyd, you know.
And he looks, and Corbin looks back in the Broken Mirror and goes,
That's how it started. You suddenly get Elias running in. Who knew that was going to happen? You know, Jesus Christ.
I think that's why I've got such a good feeling and memory of this match, because in quick succession, two men die, and then Elias goes up, smashes his guitar off over Corbin's arse.
Yeah.
And then he's just gone.
And then you get, you've got Styles and Corbin fighting over the case. Styles got it, flips out of his hand, and Otis catches it.
Yeah.
And I will say this for Otis.
Yeah.
Styles did not make that catch easy.
No.
So it really does. They really sort of go, make it look like it's slipping. And then they go, have actually lost control of it now. Mm-hmm. And then they're trying to go, let's try and get it near him. And it comes out at a funny angle.
Yeah.
But he manages to catch it and boom. He becomes, I think, the first person to ever win the Money in the Bank without actually climbing the ladder and getting the briefcase off. Okay. And which it sort of fits in with the whole, it's comic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he's a slightly sort of fun character. And again, you just get that shit Michael Cole line. It's the worst. These are two of the worst lines he's ever done in his career, because it sounds like it's off the computer games. You know, when you have that thing of going, terrific match, and the crowd really loved it, this guy's going to go far.
Yeah.
He says, the first one, he says, well, this is how Otis won. Oh, you're admitting that you're not there.
Yeah.
This is pre-filmed. Well, this is how Otis won. He had control, which means Otis is Mr. Money in the Bank. Yes. It's so generic.
Yeah, that's right, actually. Yeah.
Well, this is how player four won. You know, awful. Otis goes, oh, yeah, you know it.
I love Otis at the moment.
And then Cole's last line, as we go, we have a shot of Otis and Asuka side by side. He goes, quite a night. Asuka on the left, Otis on the right. Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank. And it ends. It's appalling.
The way the WWE network, it'll automatically roll forward to the next one. It'll sort of go, starting in 5, 4, 3. And I'm going, what?
Mr. and Mrs. Money in the bank. Click. Next.
Yeah.
Very flat ending.
Yeah.
Largely because of the... You want a commentator going, oh my God! You know, the most unlikely person in the... You know.
Yeah.
Well, there you are. Here's how that guy won. Such a pain. Would you like to know why the two results here became completely irrelevant?
Oh, yes, I would.
So the night after Money in the Bank, Money in the Bank had set up Asuka for a title shot whenever she wanted.
Yes.
And Becky Lynch came out onto Raw and she said, so you won your Money in the Bank. And Asuka goes, it's a difficult listen to the whole thing. But Becky Lynch comes out and basically says, well, actually, I'm not going to be fighting. I am announcing my pregnancy. And Asuka, in real life,
kill it.
I take you both on! She basically then said, because you won the Money in the Bank, I'm awarding you the championship. And Asuka didn't know, I think, either of those things were happening.
Oh,
so her reaction is genuine. And she's really, really over the moon and delighted.
Aww.
And so that's nice. But it does mean that we went through all that, you know. It puts her in the position of it, but it's not cashed in.
So no, exactly.
She could sort of go, I accept the belt, but that is irrelevant to this. I'll keep this for when I want.
Yes, exactly.
That would have been fine.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Now, Otis was a surprise. And people are like, well, that's good, because they're pushing someone new.
Mm.
And if they get behind him, this could be really interesting.
Let me guess, Mark. They fuck it up somehow.
So he gets into a feud. I'm not even going to tell you who they are yet, Pete,
right,
because you're going to guess at the end. Gets into a feud over the contract that happens in September time. You know, they gets into a feud with these two guys. He has to defend the contract in a match against one guy at the Hell in the Cell event in October. And that guy would beat him for the Money in the Bank contract. Who was the guy who beat Otis for the contract? Who would it be, Pete? Who would the worst choice to win that contract be?
Would it be Seth Rollins?
No, I think worse. It's the fucking Miz.
Oh no, Mark.
The Miz then successfully cashes in the Money in the Bank contract on Drew McIntyre at the Elimination Chamber in February 2021. So he ends Drew McIntyre's title reign with the Money in the Bank that he won off Otis. Otis is entirely forgotten about.
Oh.
I mean, it's just the worst of every booking decision. They do have The Miz then get squashed by Bobby Lashley. There is nothing that says to me it wouldn't have been a better idea to keep Drew McIntyre strong and then have him, you know, face Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But instead, 2 months out, they give it to The Miz. I mean, it's just perverse.
They're just kind of like their whole kind of thing at the moment. It's just where do we put The Miz? How do we get The Miz back in this story?
Yeah. Line? Anyone that we push that people are like, well, that's interesting, we go, don't be too invested because it's going to end up being in The Miz's hands.
But The Miz would have been not a bad choice for this. Yeah. Running around silly nonsense because he is a running around silly nonsense man.
Yeah, and
he's a ladder guy, isn't he?
And it also tells you that this main event was meaningless.
Yeah,
because Otis won, and you get a title shot whenever. Apart from if we decide to give it to The Miz, and we've decided to give it to The Miz.
Why do they?
It's so annoying. It's so annoying. But this is a fun match.
It was a fun match.
It's full of annoying things, and it's stupid, and it's badly made, but I'm glad it exists. I can say that much for it, Pete. I don't want all the tapes to be destroyed.
No,
I was more than happy.
Why did they have a dark match?
I don't know.
Cesaro against Jeff Hardy.
I don't know.
13 minutes, singles match. Who's that for?
I mean, you might say it's the cameramen, but the cameramen film Raw and SmackDown and 205. They're always working. What is the point?
What is it for, though? Like,
the only thing I can think is maybe they still make DVDs. And if they still make DVDs, the idea that someone's going to go, I wasn't going to buy it because I can have everything for $9.99, but I will pay $19.99 for this because it's got the Cesaro-Jeff Hardy match on, even though that is also available on the network. It doesn't make any sense at all. A company that's set in their ways and can't think properly, you know? A company that
Let's
thinks...
Let's use these restrictions to flourish and think of different ways of doing
and
things.
And you look at, I mean, you know, AEW around this time end up doing the Stadium Stampede that we looked at WrestleMania.
So was this around here? It was just around this sort of time, right? Right.
And they'd looked at it and gone, instead of looking inward, let's look outward. Let's give ourselves a bigger, you know, play opportunity. And the night and day elements between going what we did in the corporate headquarters and what they did in the stadium, the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium, it does help if you have a father who owns a sports franchise and all of the, you know, venues that
but
they
you
use.
But you could still hire out a stadium.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
it's not open for anything, is it?
Exactly. And the WWE, it's not like, you know, they're short of a penny or two.
Yeah.
They could do this underwater. And that would be thrilling.
Yeah.
But it's just it's a funny thing about, I think, you know, they just, you can see it with the choice of who they have as special guests. Four people, Brother Love, Doink, and, you know, Lauren Artis and Vince. Four people who really, you know, they weren't surprises. They weren't exciting.
Mm.
And it just seems like they're going, but let's do this as cheap as we can. You know, we've got those guys here. We'll use them.
Yeah.
Whereas AEW looked at it and went, how do we put the best thing on that we couldn't do really in any other circumstances? The difference between the stadium match and this, I mean, I think if we watch the stadium match afterwards, we'll be like, actually, looking back at that Money in the Bank thing, it was like it was made by 14-year-olds. You know, the difference in scope and intention is just so, so vast.
Mm.
That is why AEW are probably likely to... I think, you know, they are beyond competition now.
Right.
I think they're getting to a point where they could be a very serious threat in the next few years.
And it's so rarely done, I guess, in that sphere.
We're recording this on the day after AEW's All Out.
Yes.
Which saw the debut of CM Punk in ring. And he's changed up his image. I hate that. Go back to your old shorts,
go
please.
Back to your
old shorts. Don't like change. He had long shorts, long tights on.
Oh, okay.
That were grey. And he had what looked like moon boots almost in his boots. Moon boots.
Moon boots. Big moon boots.
Oh, you like your moon boots, huh? and there were a brilliantly handled couple of debuts, which, they'll be old news now. But I'm not going to tell you about it. I think you ought to have a look at it somehow.
I'm going to watch that Nia Jax shoot and watch CM Punk do his thing.
Yeah, man. So that is the Money in the Bank 2020. And look, it's a bit of a key stage here in the podcast, Pete, because we are now on the last WrestleMania. From next week, we will be doing WrestleMania 37 night one.
Mm-hmm.
We then do night two.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? then we're out of here.
Yeah, well,
we're going to take our ball and go home.
We are going to be thrown off the roof by Baron Corbin.
I hope I die. So until next week, thank you very much for listening. Check out the Patreon, check out the Big Cartel, and check out All Wrestling.
Check out your mum's boobs. I said that.
Wrestling be paid.
Wrestling be paid.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.